Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for this feast of Easter in which we celebrate the risen Christ. Bless us now as we reflect on the story, as we find ourselves in the story, and as we continue to proclaim the story of resurrection each and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So someone tells you something that's very important, and they want you to believe it. Do you always believe what they tell you? Always? Yeah, I don't know. Depends, right? So what is it that helps us to believe someone when they tell us something? If it makes sense. The person who's telling the story. What about the person who's telling the story? You have to trust them. Anything else that might influence whether we believe that story that someone tells us? If they're stumbling on their words, I heard something else over here. The evidence, witnesses, proof of some kind, right? Lots of reasons and things that will help us in our ability to be able to believe that story that someone is telling us. Well, think about the Easter story as we heard it this morning. Luke's account, the women go to the tomb, they find it empty, and they run off and they tell the disciples. And what was the disciples' response? This is an idle tale. They didn't believe them. And if we're honest, who could blame them? Each year before Lent starts, we have a clergy pre-Lenten day. It used to be called the clergy quiet day, but we were too noisy, so they changed it. And it's now the clergy pre-Lenten day. And the speaker this year talked on this particular text as part of his reflection. Now, he used language that I won't use this morning because I would get in trouble and I would probably lose my job. He said, if you literally translate the passage, the disciples said to the women, it's rubbish, it's crap, it's gibberish, it's malarkey, and it's hooey. Now, you can use your imagination to use the words, to figure out the words that he used. I get it. How could they think anything else in their human condition, with their human minds and their human experiences? It didn't make sense. It had to be fabricated. An idle tale, rubbish, gibberish. Well, aren't there many today who would say the same thing? Because we don't get it either. We can't understand it, we can't explain it, and we can't prove it. So to our finite minds, for many people, it can't have happened. It's that simple. I read this quote the other day, and it struck me. Christianity is a death cult. They waste their lives looking forward to their own deaths, and the central figure of their religion is a human sacrifice. I think that sums up how many feel about our faith and how many people feel about the celebration of resurrection that we join in today. But our celebration of Easter says otherwise. We don't thrive on death. We thrive on life, eternal life. And we believe not in Christ who is a sacrifice, but rather a Christ who isn't dead, but very much alive, even today. We're here to celebrate the truth of the resurrection. The tomb is empty, and that is no idle tale. It's not rubbish or gibberish. It is the truth. And that resurrection message is inspiring for us. As I thought about that, though, I wondered, are we really inspired? Are we really impressed? Does it really make a difference. And not just today, but every day, even when we encounter the naysayers. I read an article, and the title of the article was, "What a Great End to the Story." And I read it and I thought, end? This isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the story. And what an awesome and inspiring beginning it is to what comes next in the story of God's kingdom of hope and promise. And you and I, we are invited to become part of the resurrection story of new life and new hope as we live out our faith as an Easter people. It's an amazing story. The tomb is empty. And it defies logic and rational thought. It demands faith rather than reason. And Jesus keeps going ahead to meet up with his followers. And whether we realize it or not, that includes you and me too. We've come to the tomb. We've heard the message of the angel. And now we will go back out into the world, to family gatherings, to work, to school. I wonder, where does the risen Christ meet us there? Where does the risen Christ reveal himself to us? And in that revelation, what does the risen Christ ask of us? To be his living body today, that's what he asks of us. To be the risen Christ, present and engaged with those who are broken and lonely and suffering, those who are grieving and those who are dying. To bring hope alive. God's promise that the story never, never ends. And that we are recipients of God's grace, God's love, and God's mercy. We're called to be the witness that this is no idle tale. It's not fabricated. It's not rubbish. It's not gibberish or any other such descriptive we might use. Two stories that I'd like to share with you. Both true stories. And both stories that I know the individuals personally. The first story is of Andrew and Judy. Andrew and Judy are both priests of the Diocese of Toronto. They are colleagues and they are friends. And about 2.5 weeks ago, it was discovered that Andrew had a leaking aneurysm in his brain. He was transferred into the ICU unit, and he immediately, the aneurysm burst. He had surgery. And it has been a roller coaster experience for them over the last 2.5 weeks. Judy has put updates on Facebook. And a few days after the surgery, they had a great day. Andrew opened his eyes for the first time. And he looked over at Judy, and with a tube down his throat, he mouthed, "I love you." And then eventually, because of complications, he went unconscious again. Later on, they did a procedure, and after that procedure, he woke up again. And this time, he was using his two fingers, and it happened to be the two fingers that he always texted with. He is a technological wizard. So him using those two fingers that he always texted with was really quite something. And he crossed his legs. And Judy wrote on Facebook a post that said, "What a wonderful sign of hope. What a moment of resurrection." And what I took away from that is, often when we look for our resurrection moments, we look for something grand. And sometimes it's in the smallest of details, like how he used his fingers or that he crossed his legs. For Andrew and for Judy, this is definitely no idle tale. And then there's Todd. Todd is a priest in the Diocese of Huron who led our pre-Lenten day. He is the Dean of Theology at Huron College. And as he spoke to us during this pre-Lenten day, he talked about his father, the former bishop of the Diocese of Huron, who was very ill, in palliative care, and was dying. Well, Bishop Townsend died about 2 weeks ago. And friends of Todd on his Facebook page wrote comments like, "It was awesome the way you preached the good news of the resurrection at your father's funeral. How you said that even in the midst of Lent, your father gave us opportunity to sing our alleluias. Because that's the message of our faith, that even at the grave, we make our song, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia." For Todd, for his family, for every person who filled that cathedral to celebrate the life, the faith, and the witness, it was definitely not rubbish. Definitely not hooey. The resurrection promise definitely is good news. But there's also a challenge there. And that is the challenge to be faithful in who we are, in all we say, in everything we do, no matter what's going on in our lives and no matter what is going on in our world. May we sing our alleluias not just here and not just today, but every day and everywhere with everyone we meet. And as we do so, may we proclaim, indeed, it is no idle tale. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.